It's an invention of some sort, Violet said, studying it carefully. She began to point to different parts of the strange device, but it was as if she were talking to herself instead of her siblings. That piece of rubber looks like a fan belt, which transmits torque from an automotive engine in order to help cool the radiator. But why would you want to... Oh, I see. It moves those other mirrors around, which... But how would... Wait a minute. Klaus, see that small hole in the upper corner of the tent?
Not without my glasses, Klaus said.
Well, there's a small rip up there, Violet said. What direction are we facing if we face that small hole? Let me think for a moment, Klaus said. Last night the sun was setting as we got out of the car.
You're right,
Sunny said, which meant, I remember, the famous hinterland sunset. And the car is over there, Klaus said, turning around and dragging his older sister with them. So that way is west, and the rip in the tent faces east. East, Violet said with a smile. The direction of the sunrise. That's right, Klaus said. But what does that have to do with anything? Violet said nothing, just stood and smiled at her siblings, and Klaus and Sunny smiled back. Even with the fake scars penciled on her face, Violet was smiling in a way the other Baudelaires recognized at once. It was the sort of smile that appeared when Violet had figured out a difficult problem, usually having to do with an invention of some sort. She had smiled this way when the siblings were in jail, and she figured out how a pitcher of water could help break them out. She had smiled this way when she had looked over some evidence she had found in a suitcase, which could convince Mr. Poe that their Uncle Monty had been murdered. And she was smiling this way now, as she looked up at the strange device on the ceiling, and then back down at the two switches on the wall. "Watch this," she said, and flicked the first switch. Immediately the gears began to spin, and the long strip of rubber began to move, and the wheel of mirrors became a whirring circle. "But what does it do?" Klaus said. "Listen," Violet said. And the children could hear a low buzzing hum coming from the machine. That's the hum Count Olaf was talking about. He thought it was coming from the crystal ball, but it was coming from this invention. I thought a magical hum sounded fishy, Klaus said.
Le gros?
Sunny asked, which meant, but what about the lightning? You see how that larger mirror is angled? Violet said. It's pointed so that it reflects any light that comes out of the small hole in the tent. But there isn't any light coming from it, Klaus said. Not now, Violet said, because the hole is facing east, and it's late in the afternoon. But in the morning, when Madame Lulu does her fortune-telling, the sun is rising, and the light of the sunrise would shine right on that mirror. And that mirror would reflect it onto the other mirrors put into motion by the torquated belt. Wait, Klaus said. I don't understand. That's okay, Violet said. Count Olaf doesn't understand either. When he walks into the tent in the morning, Madame Lulu turns this invention on, and the room is filled with flickering lights. Remember when I used the refraction of light to make a signalling device at Lake Lacrimose? It's the same thing, but Lulu tells him that it's magical lightning. But wouldn't Olaf look up and see that it wasn't magical lightning? Not if the lights were off, Violet said, flicking the other switch, and above them the stars went out. The cloth of the tent was so thick that no light from outside shone in, and the Baudelaires found themselves in utter darkness. It reminded the children of when they were climbing down the elevator shaft of 667 Dark Avenue, except that that had been silent. And here they were surrounded by the sound of the machine's hum.
Eerie,
Sunny said. It is spooky, Klaus agreed. No wonder Olaf thought it was a magical hum.